iFM, your station of choice since 2008.
Planes, trains and automobiles, but it's actually not. It's just planes. You know, planes are a lot like cars. That if you're going to, if you're going to be putting your car or not using your car for a few months, you know, some people, I don't know if you still do it now, maybe tires have changed, I don't know, but people used to put their cars on bricks so that it didn't have wear and tear on the tires or didn't affect the tires. You know, you disconnect your battery. There are things that you have to do if you're not going to be using your car long term. It's the same with planes. Planes, however, I think it's far more important that proper maintenance is carried out during no-fly periods. So we've actually contacted Ian Melamed. Ian Melamed is with the let me just get all the correct information. He's with the South African Civil Aviation Authority. He's a designated examiner, and he is going to tell us what happens with aircraft maintenance when planes are grounded, and where do we park them? Good morning, Ian. Thank you for your patience. How are you?
To all the listeners.
Good morning.
When you park your car, you normally park your car where your car is normally parked.
Yes.
In short, in your garage.
Exactly. You have a parking
on the
space.
Street. Mm. If you're in Cape Town, many streets. But with planes, when you imagine you've got thousands and thousands, like 15,000, 16,000, most of them spend most of their time in the air. So the question is, what happens to those planes when they come down on the ground? Because you now have to find parking space for them.
Exactly.
And that has been, I would say, the airline's biggest issue. Where do I keep the planes? Now, why is it so important? Well, the first thing is, clearly, corrosion is a big issue. There are new types of materials that are used, these polycarbon type material used for the fuselages, but we still use a fair amount of metal, aluminium on aircraft, and that's where rust starts. The other part about it is the president gets up one morning, or the prime minister, depending on what country you're in, and says, we're now changing from level 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, whatever it is, and you can now fly. How quickly can you get your aircraft back into the air?
Exactly.
Manufacturers of the aircraft all have a good old-fashioned, the same as you've got in your car, have a handbook, an operational manual. And in that operational manual, there's a maintenance manual, and if the aircraft is not being used for a certain period of time, if it's not being used for 1 week, the manual is there, 2 weeks, 2 months, 6 months. The manual of maintenance is clearly stated in the handbook, because the CAA, technical services, their inspectors at any time, can come into the actual area where the aircraft are there and check and make sure that the maintenance that should be taking place is taking place.
Very interesting. I mean, I was reading, Ian, I was reading up some airlines, I think India Airlines, they, in order to preserve the tires, because the tires go flat if they aren't moving all the time, and they actually tow every 3 days. They've been towing their aircraft. Is that not the craziest? I mean, what goes into aircraft maintenance, especially with these big jumbos, it's incredible, absolutely incredible.
It doesn't matter. The whole idea.
Yeah.
Remember when you spoke a few moments ago about maintaining the car and putting the actual car on bricks?
Yes.
Well, if you leave tires down on a particular spot with a certain amount of pressure, and you can imagine what those big aircraft, the pressure is.
Yes.
You will get a flat spot on your tire. So the whole idea of them moving those aircraft every few days was to make sure that those highly expensive tires do not get a flat spot on the tire. The other issues that you have is where do you keep them? Now, during the time, let's take Schiphol, which I think is a fairly well-known Dutch airport.
Yes.
And they've had to actually allocate some of their runway space to parking, simply because those aircraft are normally in the air. Financial.
Hmm.
If you look at the financial issues of aircraft, there's two parts to it. An aircraft is earning no money when it's on the ground.
But it's still costing money because you have to pay for the engineers to do this stuff. And
correct.
To do the maintenance on a daily basis.
100%. But keeping the aircraft in the air for as long as you possibly can is the difference between making a loss and making a profit. Now, we normally look at these times to the issue of the big aircraft, the big passenger airlines. But let's have a look at some of the smaller aircraft, because in Africa, we still fly a lot of piston aircraft. And piston aircraft, the small 4, 6, 8, 11-seater aircraft that are sitting around going, our farming community uses a lot of them. These aircraft hate sitting on the ground.
Yes, and they get water in their petrol tanks, don't they?
Well, it's actually condensation on the pistons.
Mm.
And the condensation of the pistons actually starts corroding those pistons. And the result is that if you keep the aircraft without starting it, what happens is immediately you want to start using it again, you're in a situation of having to go through an aircraft overhaul, which is a highly expensive operation, even for the smallest aircraft.
Right.
So you're talking about hundreds of thousands.
Amazing. So where has South Africa been storing all of its planes?
South Africa is different from Europe and from America. And the reason is we got stacks of space in South Africa. We're a big country. We've got lots and lots of room. And very few of our environments are so full. Even during the World Cup, when there was an enormous number of private aircrafts coming into South Africa, we have room. We are one of the fortunate countries that have two things. One is, and let's excuse today, we have low humidity.
Yes.
in many areas.
Yes.
And if you go to certain Karoo type areas where we've got some fairly large parking places for aircraft, where the humidity is down to basically zero.
Incredible.
So these kind of environments are ideal. So, South Africa was one of the areas that some of the larger commercial operators was looking at for parking planes. But the biggest problem is that if I can get flying tomorrow, I can't have an aircraft in, for example, one of the American deserts when I want to take off from Lufthansa's main terminal in Germany.
Sure.
So you're weighing up where is the best place to park your plane, where is the maintenance available. In Spain, they have, in an area of Spain where there's very, very little humidity, where they actually have an environment that is specially designed for parking planes. And they have the maintenance people there who are fully qualified under the Civil Aviation Authority to do the inspections and everything else. And Lufthansa have actually are parking in Spain their main aircraft until such time as they can resume normal services.
I believe Australia, the Australian outback and the Australian deserts have, are also being used by, you know, I think
Australia is a perfect country to park a car. Unfortunately, I was trying to think of a nice, polite, radio-friendly way of discussing where Australia is in location to most of the flying, but I couldn't quite find it.
Okay, I think we get your point, though. Yeah. And thank you for trying to think of a nice way to say that Australia might be the butt end of the world. Anyhow, moving on, Ian. We've got to wrap it up, but thank you so much. It's so interesting when you think about it. I mean, we haven't even spoken about the cabins because apparently cabins become very, very stinky, and it's all about the humidity in it. And, yeah, let's just hope that...
Sanitization.
Yeah.
Sanitization of cabins. And sealing of cabins.
Yes.
Is what they do is not only sanitize them from a spraying point of view, but at the door, they have these enormous vacuum cleaners. And those vacuum cleaners literally pull all the air out of the cabins, and then they respray again. And this is normally done every 3 to 5 days.
Amazing. Ian, that is where we have to leave it, unfortunately. But it's so interesting speaking to you. And I'm sure that it won't be the last time. So I wish you a wonderful day. And thank you for making time. And thanks for the laugh about Australia. Can we just call it the belly button? Maybe Australia is the belly button and another country is the butt end. I'm not sure. Well, I'll leave you with that thought.